I would like to introduce the second speaker, Doug S. from the Point of Freedom group of NA in the Lower Mount Highland area.
Hi everybody, I'm Doug, I'm an addict.
Hi Doug.
It is great to be able to speak here and, you know, talk to everybody about, you know, my experience and with steps 1, 2, and 3 in my life. I found out around 6:30 this morning that I'd be sharing here, and I couldn't think of a better way to, like, take part in this retreat, and by, like, being able to help some other people and help myself at the same time and truly get, like, everything this program has to offer by sharing and listening and just being a part of instead of apart from. You know, like, looking at people in the eye when I talk with them and, like, you know, being in the moment and being here, like, this is where it's at. That's where recovery is at for me, you know, right here and here and now. And Adrian did an awesome job, really had me thinking about a lot of different things, and some of the stuff that she shared, that's for sure. So I do, my home group is the Point of Freedom group in Evansburg, Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, and I have a sponsored home group, and I've had spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, and it's ultimately, you know, what changed my life. What's awesome about, like, my story and my experience in recovery in NA is that, like, in all my attempts at treatment and all that, ultimately what saved my life was the rooms. The last time I used was March 5th, 2013. So I worked like 5.5 years clean. And I was coming up on 6 months clean at the time. And I remember driving down the road, you know, in my Camry, just thinking, like, at every light pole I passed, just wanting to run my car into a telephone pole, you know, and that was clean. That was clean with a, like almost 6 months clean at that time. And I remember thinking to myself, like, if this is recovery and being clean, then I'll take, you know, using again. And I did, and I picked up. You know, I always, when I look back at that experience, I think to myself, like, you know, at least when I was getting high, I was getting some relief. You know, because me without a program in my life, it's miserable. So I picked up and I did like a couple week run. It was around 10 days, you know, right where I left off. You know, no easing into it, that's for sure. And you know, and it was crazy, you know, just because, you know, I had heard from so many different people, you know, the pattern of the way this thing takes hold of our lives when we're clean. You know, my meeting attendance starts to shorten, lessen. You know, my priorities switch from step work, people, recovery, to money, property, prestige, you know, and it always, you know, manifests itself in a woman and a job, and these external motivators and things that I think I need to be okay about me. And that was the case then. And in the last, so, like, the March the 4th of 2013, I was working as a dishwasher at a cafe in Warren, Ohio, which is outside of Youngstown. I'm originally from Ohio, Akron, Ohio, and I got clean in Warren, Niles area, which is outside of Youngstown, and I moved to Pittsburgh, and then I moved from there to Indiana area, and that's what, you know, brings me to more Mount Highland area now. I was working as a dishwasher, and I was downstairs getting high in the bathroom, and just stepped away and went downstairs to get it in, and then came back upstairs, and like on the next break, I was smoking a joint behind this dumpster outside, and I had the area that I was living in. I moved there because I was living in a three-quarter house. And I saw my friends down there were all in recovery at that point. I had made some changes and recognized some problems in my life. And, I had started building a we at that time. Who, out of all those people, me and this one other dude that was my sponsor at the time, are still clean today, or that stayed clean. At least the group that we got, we started together with. And I'm out there smoking this joint behind this dumpster, and this guy, my friend Trevor, sees me. And for some reason, I had this moment of clarity that I thought that I was caught. Nonetheless, I mean, I was, standing behind the dish then, nodding off, super messed up. But for some reason, him seeing me smoke a weed, I was like, man, I'm caught. The gig's up. And I don't know what came over me other than God intervened in my life. But I called my sponsor that night and told him I was using, that I'd been using for the last 10 days or whatever it was. He's like, yeah, I figured, man, I haven't heard from you. And before the girl in the job and the externals, I was really, motivated and working on the steps and doing the meetings, and so he noticed the change. So I said, what do you want me to do? He said, it was a Sunday night. He said, tomorrow morning there's a meeting at 9:15 called Nothing to Fear. I want you to be there, and we're going to pick up a white tee pad. And that's what I did. I showed up. And I stood up, and I surrendered in that moment, and picked up a white key day, and that was March the 5th. So like I said, my clean day is March the 6th, and me being the good ass I am, thinking, I should probably have some weed to come down, smoke later that afternoon, and then the true divine intervention, apart from what already occurred, was I threw the rest of the bag that I had out the window. And that was the last time I've used. So that's my clean day. It's March the 6th, 2013. And I say that because, my story is my message. And the first step for me was really starting to truly work in my life at that time. When I was in treatment one time, and I heard a dude say, I can't, we can, or I can't, he can, I think I'll let him. And I thought, I remember that at that moment the seed was planted because I understood that message. I had read some of the literature and stuff and thought I knew everything. But what I didn't know was that simple message, and that really planted the seed and made all the difference at that time in my life in recovery, because it broke things down. It broke things down to me, planted the seed of recovery of what this initial process was all about, steps 1, 2, and 3. What I've come to learn today is that really it's we can't. We can. I think we'll let him. And I say that because, like, we can't, right? So we can't. What was that like in my life? Step one. You know, I always kind of recognized that I had a problem with drugs. I mean, when you fall out in public bathrooms and get found by people, and your mom's just cleaning up rigs in the bathroom, and your family wants nothing to do with you, I think it's pretty obvious, like, I had a problem, you know? But for some reason, there was a piece of that that made me feel like I was different. Like, I wasn't as bad as that, or I hadn't done that yet. Or I'm not so bad that I need to go to a program, basically, right? That I don't need to take responsibility for it or do anything about it. My first step, we admitted we are powerless over our addiction, that our lives have become unmanageable. So seeing other guys like me struggle with the same thing that I struggled with made me recognize and identify that I was like them. You know, one of the things that I stress with a sponsee, a guy that I'm working with now currently, is like, if you don't have the same problem that I have, then the solution that I have to offer you might not work. But if you have the same problem that I have, the solution that I have to offer will work for your life if you let it. And that's always been the 12 steps. So the sponsee of mine, like, I was under the impression that, you know, he was coming up on, like, 30 days clean, right? And then, like, a couple weeks into it, he lets me know, I've been smoking weed, like, every day. And I'm like, oh, okay, so, you know, that's where we're at in the process, like, you've still been using. Alright, so, in, like, starting to give him something to, like, sink his teeth into, and having him read, who is an addict every day. And then we talk about who is an addict. And whenever we're on the phone, like, something about being an addict, so that, like, we can start to understand and identify together that either you're an addict or you're not. You know, and it's about him. And it's about me. And it's about his process and learning that I'm an addict and I have this disease of addiction. And as soon as I recognize that, I can recognize that I think this same solution can work for me too. So in my life, seeing all these dudes with the same problem that I had, and not just the drugs, man, like the attitudes, the feelings, the hopelessness, the embarrassment and that degradation, it talks about, like, I was thinking about, like, powerlessness. It wasn't the arrest. It wasn't the embarrassment. For me, I always think of myself laying on my mom's couch. My mom had just got divorced, and my parents separated, bought a new house. I was staying there after I got out of the treatment, started getting high again, and I was laying on this couch. And she bought it because she, like, that's what she could afford. It was a piece of junk. But, like, that's where I lived, was on that freaking couch. And it sucked. And it hurt my back. And I was already in a lot of pain anyway because I was always, you know, like, couldn't get high that morning and then was trying to figure out ways and means to get more by the afternoon. And I think about that desperation and that feeling of being on that freaking couch and just hating life and wishing that it was over, you know? That's that feeling, man. Like, that's the type of feeling that I internalize, that I can relate to, that, like, when people speak the language of the heart and, like, tell their stories and stuff, like, I get it. Whatever it is for their life, you know? That's that powerlessness piece for me, that feeling inside of life. Not being good enough and not being able to stop on my own and you know, wanting to stop and trying to stop and not being able to. Telling myself the day before that, you know, today, tomorrow I'm going to stay clean. And then as soon as I get up in the morning, you know, my fingers are leaving a trail of dust, dying so fast. Anybody I think they can come through, you know. You know, and the unmanageability, man, like, that was super easy for me to see. What was more difficult when I got clean was recognizing and identifying the unmanageability of my life when I was clean. You know, I always thought that, you know, if I just quit using, or if I just quit using a certain substance, that, you know, my life would definitely become manageable, or at least maybe better. But, you know, that wasn't the case. You know, like, everything, it was just a total package, man. The unmanageability for me being clean, like I said, when I talked about at the end there, wanting to run my car right into the ditch and hit a telephone pole, like, that's that unmanageability. Me without a program in my life. Me without God in my life. Me without support in my life. So really, like, you know, step one for me was that recognition piece that, yes, we have a problem, because I saw it in everybody else too. Step two in my life was very similar. There was a different time when I was in a different treatment, and sitting in group one day, and these guys came in and shared their experience, strength, and hope. It wasn't like H and I, but it was very similar in the sense that there was this dude like that had a little bit of clean time that came in that had gone through that program that was saying, like, look, we're still clean. Like, this is what we've been doing. We moved down into this house. We've got sponsors. We're going to meetings. We're working steps. Like, and we're doing it. Like, we got a little time now. 6 months, I think, they had it on that time. And I remember thinking to myself, I could do it too. You know? Just like seeing that these young guys, just like me at the time, were doing it and staying clean. And I thought for sure, I'm just like them. And if they can do it, then I can do it too. You know? And that's when I truly believe that I worked the second step in my life. You know, although I, you know, work the principles of the steps continually in my life and formally work steps with sponsor over the years, that's when I believe that the second step occurred in my life. And it was amazing, and because before that time, I didn't think it was possible. You know, like, before that period of time in my life, I always envisioned, like, recovery and staying clean as, like, this abstract thing. Like, this thing that, what, like, I couldn't really touch. It's out there. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how it feels. But kind of want it. But I'm not sure how to do it, you know? But then, when that hope came in and, like, snuck into my life at that time, like, I knew it was possible. They did it, I could do it too. That was my second step. You know, today, like, one of the ways that, you know, the second step works in my life is, you know, going to a meeting. You know, being restored to sanity, talking to my sponsor, praying to God, seeking guidance and getting answer to prayer, and you know, having, you know, God act continually intervene in my life and allow good things in life to occur to me and be here, be alive for life to occur. You know, but that's like how the second step introduced itself into my life. And step three, you know, when I got clean, like, it was, I also too started off in the other fellowship, and the way that, you know, my sponsor worked with me, you know, it was the way that that's how they did it in that area. And, you know, like, we came, we did the work. We did the work out of the literature. We got down on our knees and we said the third step prayer together, which is, and, you know, I started off on a rigorous course of action. And after we did that together, I jumped right into my fourth step. You know, I've always believed that the third, or I have not always believed, but I was told that it's a decision. You know, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. And I made a decision to follow through with the steps. There was other times in my life where I kind of set out to do this thing. Like I had good intentions to do these steps, and I'd do the 1, 2, 3 dance, and then no work, no footwork, you know? We'd work in the literature, I'd go to meetings, I'd be talking with the sponsor, I'd be praying, you know, I'd be doing these different things, and but I would never let the pen hit the paper, you know? So that third step to me was the decision to go on with the rest of the steps. And my sponsor had me get that notebook out and start writing on resentment. And we worked out of the book, and he taught me how to take a, you know, fearless and moral inventory. And, you know, and that decision went from being lip service into a real decision. You know, and that's how I've always interpreted and known the third step. You know, when I think of 1, 2, 3 today and like how it plays out in my life, is that moment that I ask God for help. And the reason, or the moment I say the serenity prayer, like when I was driving this morning, man, my brain is so fried, and like I get so caught up when I'm trying to pray or trying to think about something else, and it just trails off into a million different thoughts and trails, and I still like, you know, get jumbled like that. But I was driving to, you know, Dollar General this morning to get some stuff, and I was like, you know, trying to say a serenity prayer on the way there, and then trailing off into what I was going to say here. And the moment that I recognize in my life and seek God's guidance and help is for me encapsulates the first three steps. Because in that moment, when I start communicating with my God and letting Him know, here I am, what do you want me to do, is the moment and I'm internally saying, like, I don't got this. You know, I believe that you can help me in this situation, give me the guidance to say, the words to say, the guidance to share my experience with everybody. And and by just talking with Him, like, that's the decision, that's part of the footwork, you know? So it really encapsulates like the first three steps for me, because it's that surrender piece. Like Adrian was saying, like I recognize like me alone sitting here saying whatever is great and everything, like, but without God, without my higher power's help in my life, like the power's not there. You know? And by inviting Him into my life and into myself today, you know, my prayer was that He would speak through me, that I'd be able to help somebody else and hopefully, you know, share some experience, strengthen our recoveries together, and bring hope to somebody that might be struggling with something or might have been where I've been. And that's pretty cool, man, because I can walk away knowing that the work was done. That spiritual work, that spiritual battlefield, like with him fighting the fight, with Him doing the work, like, takes all the pressure off me. So there's nothing that I can say, no matter how eloquent I speak, no matter what I say, like, if God works through me, that's all that counts. And, you know, and that's kind of like, you know, some of the thoughts and things that I wanted to share about, like, how the first three steps have impacted my life and how they've materialized and manifested themselves in my actual life. And today, like, my unmanageability and my powerlessness, you know, comes in different forms. You know, and I go through the same processes with these different things. For example, I'll just start with, like, the one that's kind of been, like, on my heart and something I've really truly been working on diligently is weight loss. So, a month ago, I came back from vacation and weighed myself, and I was heavier than I've ever been in my entire life, and I was pissed, I was disgusted, I was just, like, embarrassed, you know? And, and I said, like, in the past, I've tried all these different things, like, dieting-wise. Like, I'm a wrestler. So, in high school, I wrestled 189 and 215. And in one time, in my, like, sophomore year, I did heavyweight. But I was a real small heavyweight. And any time I'd ever had to cut weight, like, I starved myself for weeks on end, you know. And, like, the day of the tournament, after I weighed in, I'd eat, you know, whatever I get my hands on and get some energy that way. And, you know, I tried that at 33 years old this year, you know, trying to diet like that, you know what I mean? And it doesn't work. It doesn't freaking work. And especially with an addict like me, like, even last night, like, so I'm doing Weight Watchers now. It's really been working. But last night, like, just, I don't have service out here to track my points. Like, there was a bunch of snacks, and as soon as I started snacking, it was on, like, Donkey Kong, man, and that's that addict in me just ready to rip, like, and that's the same with the dope. You put anything in front of me, man, like, I'm gonna keep piling it on. When I was using, like, in my early 20s, I was, like, a festival dude, and I'd just hop around, and I would do any drug in front of my face, like, weird stuff, DMT, like, that just blows your wig, man, like, and don't even know what planet you're on. And, you know, so back to the weight thing. So, like, I'm trying all these things on my own, like, starving myself, like, just eating chicken, which it's good in theory, but you get tired of chicken. And hard-boiled eggs, you know, like, the keto. Right? And also, I try all these different things, you know, and, like, I'm failing. Because what happens is I lose, like, 5 pounds or something like that, and be like, oh, yeah, this is dumb, man. And then have a bad weekend, and then right back to where I was, you know, half a pizza. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so this lady that I work with started talking about Weight Watchers. Never considered it, and I honestly thought it was kind of girly. Because only people that go there are women, at least at the meeting that I go to. But I started thinking about it. And I'm like, I started talking to her about it, because I've never had this idea of my own. But basically what you do is you go to a meeting once a week, you track your points, you do work, step work, right? And you ask other people for help. Sounds pretty familiar. And so I'm like, all right, well, I do work a program in my own life. This is something I haven't tried before. It's not my idea. And it involves working a program. Maybe I should give it a try. You know, that was like 7 weeks ago now, and I've lost 20 pounds, and I can continue to keep losing. And I've been following the program and, like, tracking the points and, like, doing their program, not my program. And it's been working. And, like, it's just crazy because NA taught me that. Follow the program. You know? And that's what I'm doing for this now, and it's working. You know, and I know it's early, but, like, this is better than I've done in a minute, and I'm not going to hold back. And that was the same thing that happened when I got clean. I never had 30 days. you know, never had 30 days. You know, and he's talking about God's helped me do a little bit better, you know. So I'm giving this a try and, like, allowing that, even though that eating and binge eating and eating unhealthy is completely unmanageable in my life, once I take the first one, I can't stop. And I'm powerless over there. But if I ask for help, go to a meeting, and make a decision, and do some footwork, like, the stuff starts to materialize in my life. You know, I stopped smoking almost 3 years ago, and I did it just like clean time. So I got 30 days off six, and then it was 60, then it was 90, and then by then it was like, you know, I wasn't craving smoking anymore or chewing or anything, you know. It's actually now I'm starting to get kind of cravings of smoke. I smell it and I'm like, man, like. But I think that's also because I'm eating better. Whereas, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like void after void after void after void, and my disease wants to fill it in every which way it can, whether it's tobacco, food, heroin, ecstasy, you name it. Like, something inside of me wants more. And I remember, like, the dude told me, like, when I first got clean, like, dude, you use for three different reasons. To feel good, to feel better, to feel different, and to feel nothing at all. And that still holds true in my life today, no matter what. And that's why I know that I have a disease of addiction. It's not a chemical. It's a way of thinking. And there's more. That's like just the best example that I have right now that I'm like doing something about, that I'm taking responsibility for, is the weight thing. So hopefully next year you guys come out here, I'll meet that goal and see less of me. But like I said, I'm Doug. I'm like,